It is indeed the mix. It is 9:41, and I'm Scott Kirkman, and I'm late.
Yeah. Yes. Well, we noticed that, Scott. This is you are my third co-host this morning.
Well, we're only
halfway through the show.
Well, you haven't improved. I won't say anything about the first two, but I'll just say that your options at this point
it's not making me anybody anyway. But
yeah, just saying. Long story. I'll explain it later.
Okay. Well, thank you for straggling in.
I do what I can.
And joining us when you get the urge whatever this is.
When I did show up, even though late, I brought guests.
You did.
So
you brought a gentleman. We have been.
We've been talking about him.
We've been talking about him. I don't think he listens to us, or he wouldn't have shown up.
There you have it. We have in the studio with us this morning, Panama City Manager Mark McQueen. Welcome
to the
microphone. We haven't had
Scott.
You yet, so we're glad
appreciate
to have you
it.
Here.
You know, I used to work at Gulf Coast State College.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did for about almost 9 years and loved this college.
When was this?
It was from 88 to 96.
So,
wow.
97. Where we are at right now was like a soccer field.
Yeah, this was not here.
Yeah.
And the college is an incredible asset in our community. It's just, it is the game changer for our community.
Well, that's
Couldn't
a
be
good
more
way
proud
to put
of it.
It. Yeah. I like that. So what did you do here when you were here?
I was privileged to be able to work with a lot of our military students.
Okay.
I ran the education program out at Tyndall and at the Navy base. And we had at that time about 2,100 students taking classes.
Great
airmen and sailors and their family members and community members. It was fantastic.
Tom, do you realize the number of people that we cycle through here that are in different positions like you
yes.
are and that have
and
had some
alumni or worked
Coast.
Here. They're either
Absolutely.
Alumni or worked
yeah.
here. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm trying to personify the motto, start here, go anywhere, right?
Wow.
And
exactly.
that's I started here in Panama City.
Having read a little bit about your career, you did.
Yeah.
Started here and went everywhere.
I did.
Pretty much.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
now
sir.
You're back, and you know what job does the city manager do? Because we have a mayor, right? Well, what's the difference between you guys?
Well, the mayor is our...
And the mayor can make better pizza than you, I bet.
He can make better pizza.
Yeah.
He's got better sauce, for sure. And I've had the privilege of tasting it, and it's really, really
yeah.
good. So, you know, our mayor is elected official. He leads our community, not just as a figurehead in terms of ceremony, but also heads up our commission with regard to policy. So the city commission and the four commissioners that we have are all designed to help set policy and direction for the city, and it's my responsibility to execute and implement that with the great teammates we have at the city of Panama City.
Perfect. Well, we've talked a lot about you all because and Bay County, the Bay County Commission as well, because you all have done a great job since Hurricane Michael to try to piece our community back together.
Yeah, the Hurricane Michael was not really supposed to be a welcome for you. Welcome to your job on the bay, on the city on the by the bay. And we're going to trash it. Now you rebuild it.
That's right. Yeah.
How long had you been on the job when the hurricane hit?
Just about 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. That's not very.
I read that somewhere, and I went, "Wow, talk about stepping into it, jumping into the deep end." My goodness gracious!
You know, I'm a believer. I've got a faith that tells me that God had a plan, and
sure.
I've been all over the world doing exactly this type of work in third world nations, principally war-torn countries, and coming here and being able to take those skills that I gained from around the world to apply it here to rebuild Panama City to make it the great place, certainly the premier city in the Panhandle, Florida. I am blessed to be in this position and humbled to be the servant to serve this great community.
You seem to be the right guy at the right time.
Yeah. If there was ever a definition of serendipity,
yeah,
that's it.
Thank you,
so,
Robbie. I appreciate
you know, we've been excited because Tom and I have talked a lot about the lack of funding coming from the feds. So now we're happy they've signed a bill. What happens next? So we're curious. Like, who gets it? Does the county get it? Does the state get it?
Scott wants to know: are they just going to drive a dump truck full of $100 bills down from Washington?
You didn't get that?
No, I didn't.
No,
you missed it. I missed the parade.
It was here earlier, but you were late.
I was late,
so you missed it. So, no, seriously, you know, it took quite a number of months to get the disaster relief bill put in place, and certainly that was frustrating. But honestly, it's the representative form of government that we embrace. here in the United States. It's the model for the world, and this is part of that process. So notwithstanding the timeline, now that the Congress has appropriated and the President has signed the appropriation of $19.1 billion, that is designed to be a spread across all of the disaster spaces of the United States. So certainly North Carolina, our teammates over there that got flooded out with Hurricane Florence, they were about 45 days ahead of us, still had not received aid. And then, of course, we've had the most recent with some earthquakes and some flooding in the Midwest and some tornadoes. I mean, it was all an umbrella package. So the way that's supposed to work is the once the appropriation has been made, the monies go to the federal government, to the executive branch. And there's a number of agencies, to include FEMA, but really the Housing and Urban Development, the Department of Education, Department of Transportation, Department of Commerce, all of the different departments get a piece and a slice of that. And from that, they will administer and share those resources through grants and other program funds to the various communities that have been impacted. The federal government allocates those funds to the states, the representative states that had the declared disasters. The states will work through the counties to make their sub-allocation, and then the counties will allocate out to the municipalities.
Wow. That's a complex process.
It's a very complex process. It's a very deliberate process. Sure. There are checks and balances in place, which, again, is our representative form of government. But at the end of the day, we will receive resources that will address many of the issues that are right in our face right now. It's not going to be a 100% solution. And so we don't need to get just enamored by the fact that all this money is going to come in. It will come in, and it will have an impact. But it's not the total solution. It's going to take not only federal dollars to come to bear, state dollars that are going to come to bear, but private investment that we want to do. And we need to, and in fact, I've been told that generally speaking, that you'll have somewhere in the neighborhood of about 40% of the total rebuild of a disaster zone is done by the federal government. Most of it comes from the private sector. And so what we need to do is incentivize private sector development and investment in this community. And clearly, we are very much the benefactors of the environment that we're in. We have a wonderful access to the bay and to the Gulf. We've got natural resources. We have fresh water. We have hunting. We have fishing. I mean, we have a quality of life potential here in Panama City and Bay County that is unmatched in many places across the country. And so we want to incentivize and entice investors and developers and people who want to come to Panama City with their not only their physical being, but also their purse to help invest and make a difference for Panama City.
So as far as you're concerned at the in Panama City government, what are some of the top issues that need to be addressed in Panama City?
Well, the immediate pressing concern clearly is housing. Okay. We have an acute shortage of housing, and what's unique about the Panama City and Bay County area is that it's 100% or it's 180 degrees from where every other disaster zone has experienced. So specifically, most every other disaster zones that FEMA has shared with us have 70% homeowners and 30% renters.
Okay.
We're exactly opposite. We have 70% of our population are renters and 30% are homeowners, which exacerbates the problem at an order of scale that really creates a complexity that needs to be addressed. And we are going to address that. So housing is the most pressing, immediate concern.
Is that specific, like public housing?
It's all housing.
All housing.
It's the total continuum. And everybody defaults to public housing, Scott. But it's more than just typical Section 8 HUD housing. It's much more than that. It's workforce housing. It's housing for our key team members, whether they're nurses or police officers or firefighters or teachers or all these folks, great, great citizens that have an impact on a community.
Sure.
We got to get them housing.
What's next? What's next besides housing?
So for the city of Panama City, we have four lines of effort that we're focusing on. The first and foremost is safety and security for all. We need to make sure that we have a safe and secure environment, and that's not just our fire and our police, but also how do we make sure we have safe drinking water and safe transportation networks and safe whatever. You can just name it. And we need to create that safe and secure environment. Secondly, we need to reinvest in key and vital infrastructure. Clearly, we saw what happened in this storm is that we lost a lot of power, and had not been for a legion of great linemen that came in from all over the country to help us, You know, it could have been months before we had the lights back on in Panama City. But we need to get our key and vital infrastructure back up, water, sewer, stormwater drainage systems, those types of things. The third area that we're focusing on is the economy. The economy of Panama City actually benefits the economy of everybody in Bay County and surrounding counties. I mean, when you think about the fact that Panama City has the density of medical capacity for the region, we have the industrial base along the shoreline with the Port of Panama City and Eastern Shipbuilding and the mill, and then you start looking at the preponderance of the businesses that take place. It's in the commercial corridors of 23rd Street, 15th Street. The number of automobile dealerships principally are in Panama City, and so we need to get that economy up and running again. And it's a delight every day when we see now open.
Oh, sure.
You know,
absolutely.
All these businesses coming online. I mean, it's just fantastic to see it because that gets people an opportunity to get to work. And then the fourth priority that we have, and these are not numerically in order, but it's all four that we're focusing on, is quality of life. We need to enhance the quality of life of Panama City. As we indicated, we have the wonderful natural resources. We have it, and we want to enhance access to the bay and to the Gulf. We want to increase our walking trails and bike trails and parks and recreation programming and our education systems and our art and our culture and our history. I mean, we have so much to be proud of here in Panama City, and what we want to do is enhance and reinforce and energize those quality of life domains that help to enrich and make our lives more complete.
Great. We're talking this morning with Panama City City Manager Mark McQueen. Let's take a break for a quick song. And have we done the vitamin B yet, Tom?
No vitamin. We haven't done our vitamin B, and we've got some history.
Okay, well, we got to sort some of that out. So we got to play a song so we can talk about that stuff off air. All right. It is 9:52. Stick with us. You're listening to The Mix on your local public radio station. We've got the Jackson 5 going back a little bit here for ABC.